especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners out there in Radio Land.
Yeah, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for whatever part of the next 2 hours you can be with us today. Father, for the first hour, I'll be joined in the second hour by Peter DePalma on this Divine Will Wednesday. Father McKay and I are part of Warehouse Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Reminder that on Thursday mornings, I post the highlights of today's shows on my Substack account. You can find that at notsaintsyet.substack.com. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com, along with some other articles that I post each week. The Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It opens at 9 a.m. following the daily mass at 8:30 and remains open until about 4:30 in the afternoon. On Tuesday afternoons at 3 o'clock, we have adoration for an hour, followed by Matt Talbot prayers and benediction. And on Thursdays, we have a rosary at 4 o'clock. Next week, will be Father Foley's on vacation, so we will not have that holy hour from 3 to 4 next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, we should be fine. Plans are also underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot, which will take place in June of 2025. We'll keep you updated as things progress and plans are made available. Two upcoming retreats at Malvern you might be interested in for men and women. On the first annual Mother's Day retreat with Father Chris Allar and Father McKay will be held at the Malvern Retreat House. Father Chris Allar, being the of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception up in Stockbridge, very popular of late, and will be at Malvern that weekend. And then for men, the weekend of August 16th to the 18th, it's my annual retreat. And this year we'll have Father Bryce Lundgren from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He was on last March to talk about his book, The Catholic Cowboy Way. So young guy, pretty charismatic, and he'll be on hand for that retreat in August. You can register for those two or any other retreats at malvernretreat.com. And if you have questions about the retreat or the retreat house, you can reach them at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. So.
Also, Ken, just like to add the retreat for the police, fire, federal police officers, firefighters, anyone federal, the retreat at Malvern on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the week, May 7th, 8th, and 9th. So any police officers, firefighters out there, you know, interested in a retreat at Malvern, the beautiful grounds out there, Heaven's Gate, Peace, I call it a new spiritual paradise. Come and be refreshed and let the Lord touch you and fill you up with strength and love and providence of His, Ken. I just wanted to mention that for the police.
Yeah, absolutely.
Firefighters.
Absolutely. All right, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is a prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially once your calls, as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. Father, I forgot to mention that we're going to have the Brunos calling in again today about the National Day of Prayer that's going to take place next Thursday. So we'll let you go around 4:45.
All right.
And we are in the fourth week of Easter. I should also note we've got an issue going on, old slick, with the Facebook Live. So those that are viewing online, you're actually seeing it through my phone. And what I think may happen is if we do get calls, the callers won't be heard over Facebook. You'll hear my voice coming through the speaker on the phone, but you won't be able to hear the folks that are actually on the phone. So a little technical difficulty, but trying to hobble along here. We are in the fourth week of Easter, and on Sunday the 21st, we celebrated the feast of St. Anselm, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. Tuesday the 23rd, we had two saints, St. George, who was a martyr, and then St. Adalbert, bishop and martyr. Today we celebrate St. Fidelis of Sigmaringen, priest and martyr, and because of our prayer group, a couple of folks that made Mass over at St. Rita's, the Augustinian priests are there, of course. Over at St. Rita's, they celebrated the conversion of St. Augustine today on the 24th. And then tomorrow, the 25th, we celebrate St. Mark the Evangelist. So, as we tend to do, we'd like to kick it off with the saint of the day. And for today, that would be St. Fidelis of Sigmaringen. And where did it go? There we go. He was born in the year 1577 and not initially set out to be religious. He was born with the name of Mark Ray, and actually became a lawyer, and always held up the causes of the poor and the oppressed. His nickname was the poor man's lawyer. Eventually, he grew disgusted with the corruption of and injustice he saw among his colleagues. Now, Father kind of mentioned that this morning. This is probably the early 1600s. You know, we think that all this is new. And like everything else, we find out there's nothing new under the sun, that corruption's been going on for centuries, and not just here in the 21st century. Anyway, after he got fed up, he left his law career and became a priest, joining his brother George as a member of the Capuchin Order. So Fidelis would become his religious name. Took all his money and divided it between the needy and the needy seminarians, and the poor. Of course, as a Capuchin, he would be a follower of St. Francis of Assisi, and would continue the devotion he had as a lawyer to the weak and needy while he was a Capuchin. During a severe epidemic in the city where he was a guardian of the friary, he cared for and cured many sick soldiers. He then became head of a group of Capuchins that were sent to preach against the Calvinists and Zwinglians in Switzerland. And apparently these were a pretty violent bunch. They said that it was Fidelis's prayer more than his homilies and sermons that actually converted a lot of people. He would have all night vigils in which he would pray. And then He thought that eventually, and many others thought that he would eventually have his life taken. The gun was fired at him, but he escaped that unharmed. And then there was a Protestant fellow who offered to shelter him, but Fidelis declined, saying that his life was in God's hands. So then he was on the road on his way back to whence he had come. He was set upon by a group of armed men and killed. So he was canonized in 1746, and 15 years later, in 1761, he was recognized as a martyr. So that's St. Fidelis of Sigmaringen, whose feast day we celebrate today, April 24th. Father?
Yeah, you covered it pretty well there, Ken. He lived a penitential life, and he wore a hair shirt, and he might have been an alcoholic because he abstained from wine. He loved the poor, gave clothes off his back. Like you mentioned already, he was just frustrated in law and left the law profession because of all the corruption. But constantly in prayer, and he wanted to preserve himself from sloth, from laziness, and lukewarmness. It was a line that he used about he didn't want to be a half-hearted soldier in the service of Christ, and he called Christ the crucified crown. You know, and that was the captain. I forget the exact words there, but it was pretty powerful, you know, just that he wouldn't be half-hearted. And saints aren't half-hearted. And you're right about in his preaching, his proclaiming, there was always a fire in him, and you alluded to his prayer life, you know. But before the Eucharist, that he would receive, you know, the presence of the Lord, and he would be his soldier. And he would just preach out. And he knew his time was coming as well. He was warned, and he just felt that, you know, someone said, I believe you mentioned, that we'll take care of you. Come with us. We'll give you shelter. And he said, no, I'm in God's hands. He just seemed to know his route. He said he would be food for the worms. But at the end, you know, just like so many saints, like Stephen, Saul, Paul, you know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's like you see Jesus living again in the saints, even up to their death. But, yeah, you know, where he got his strength and the graces and the power from was his prayer life, morning, night. You know, they're like bookends. And he just loved Jesus and laid his life down for the Lord. And when he was preaching, that bullet that missed him went into the wall. He was actually preaching one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's when the gun was fired, and the bullet went by him and landed in the wall. But he knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. And you mentioned that Protestant minister. He was so taken back by this martyrdom that he converted to Catholicism. And, you know, when a minister converts over, you know, from a Protestant faith, he not only brings himself, but brings a lot of people that are associated with him. But... you know, I get a lot out of Fidelis. Faithfulness. That's what it all means. He's only, what, 45 years old, and his body was mangled, and just gave his life for Christ, and was happy to do it. Here's the line I was looking for. Woe is me if I should prove myself to be a half-hearted soldier in the service of my thorn-crowned captain. We want to follow Jesus. We should look good wearing wood, because we'll be persecuted just like Jesus. And if we're not being persecuted, maybe we're not living the gospel that he told us about persecution. You know, and he said, you're going to have trouble in the world, but take courage. I have conquered the world. And when you're one with Jesus, it's like you'll die 1,000 deaths for him. And, you know, he's not asking us to die. He's asking us to live for him. Being his witnesses, soldiers of Christ, not half-hearted. We pray that will, you know, thy will be done. You think of the Blessed Mother's will and Jesus' will, Joseph's will. It was fiat. It was, yes, all their might. It wasn't, oh, okay, maybe. No, all their might, you know. I'm not afraid of God's will. I'm afraid of my will, because it's in his will that I find my peace and my joy, that I find him. I find that friendship. I find that presence of Jesus, that glory of God dwelling within me and all of us. And that's what the saints knew, Ken. they would give their lives to Jesus, die 1,000 deaths for him, because it wasn't them. I no longer live I, but Jesus lives in me. So saints, you know, another life from heaven, someone where Jesus Christ lives again, you know, a saint, someone that Jesus shines through, and be a saint. You know, that's what we're all called to be holy and perfect, like our Heavenly Father is holy and perfect. It's a commandment. If he commands something, he certainly gives the strength and the grace to do it. But yes, St. Fidelis, always faithful. Pray for us. Amen.
Amen. You know, and I know that there's only, it looks like there's only two people out on Facebook, and I realize, you know, all the time the Father's talking, it's not coming through there. So I'm going to go ahead and shut it down, because even in the second show, I'm going to have Peter, and it'll be in and out. So if you happen to be watching on Facebook, I suggest you either turn on the radio to 800 AM or use the WTMR app on your phone or tablet. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to turn off the Facebook Live, because I know you can't hear Father.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't hear me?
No, they can hear you over the radio. But with the Facebook, I'm using my phone and realized that they won't be able to hear you in during this hour and Peter in the next, or anybody that calls in. So I went ahead and shut it down. But
nobody can see you now. So
yeah. I can do whatever I want now. But anyway, St. Fidelis, you know, you mentioned about being half-hearted, and this, when you said that, I thought about being lukewarm, and our friend Harry this morning, who was, you know, talking about awe, the, you know, when it came to God, the AWE awe, and then quickly said that, you know, he wants to be all, A-L-L, all in, and, you know, Jesus saying that you know, you're going to spit out the lukewarm, and you know, where he's either everything or nothing, and to try to be all in is the goal. And obviously, you know, we got a lot of folks that are in recovery that listen, and you know, many are all different places on the path. You know, some that are just getting started, some that have been at it for decades. And many, many in between, but the, you know, the goal is obviously to be all in as best we can. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect. Very few people achieve that perfection on earth. So, you know, we just keep striving. But the closer we stay, the more we try to do or live in God's will, the closer we'll get. And you know, it kind of wasn't planned, but you know, not directly, but that Matt Talbot 57 retreat and that last talk I gave on God's will, and that, you know, the bottom line being that love, and we see it with Fidelis and his love for the poor and all that he would do for the poor and the needy, trying to bring the Calvinists and those that had left the church back. This isn't that that far after the or that long after the Protestant Reformation. And so, you know, trying to call our Protestant friends back to the, you know, the one true faith, and try to get them to be all in. Because we, when those moments perhaps that we are all in, or maybe even extended periods if you've been on the path for a while, you see the benefits and the joy that life offers when you are all in. And when you're partially out or all out, you know, we definitely pay the consequences. You know, many of us that struggled with addiction and, you know, we were, you know, completely out. And I think God gives us just enough glimpses of what the benefits are of being all in that more and more of us are striving for it. And I just think about the group this morning, Father. You know, we started out with a handful of people a while back, and you know, the chapel on Wednesday mornings is slowly filling up, and it's because the people that are there are obviously getting something from it and inviting others, and you know, little band of brothers and sisters, I think, of folks that want to be all in.
Yeah, good to see. You made me think of fair-weather Christians, Ken, you know. When everything's going well, you know, I love God, I'm going to Mass and all that. And then the cross comes, or a dark night comes, where the Lord wants to really get more of the world out of us and to advance us higher in the spiritual realm. And yet we bellyache, you know, and we complain, we stop praying, we put on the television, we go back to the flesh pots, eat and drink and be merry. Fair-weather Christians, you know. And we need to expect the cross, you know. The cross is it's the crossover. It's the crossover from this world into His world. But, yeah, you made me think about fair-weather Christians. Everything's going well, you know, I'm praising God, going to church, but especially when something tragic happens in our life, you know, I get angry at God, I turn away from God, I stop going to Mass, you know, He's working everything out. His will's being done. You know, what's more important than anything is that we come home to heaven, live forever with God. I mean, that's our journey, that's our end, and that's what it's all about, and He's going to get us to heaven, you know, and sometimes we want our will to be done. I want my loved ones back here, you know. And I would like to have my brother Harry back here, my brother Anthony, and my mother and father. But that would be quite selfish because they don't want to come back. What they have now, you know, they got the fulfillment, abundant life, praying for us. So that would be very selfish if I had the power to bring them back. I don't think they'd be very happy with me. But, yeah, fair-weather Christians. I mean, made me think of the Christian vitamin. I did that at the Mount Vernon retreat. And see who can name the Christian vitamin, and they would win the statue of Venerable Matt Talbot. And of course, he had a lot of good answers. You know, the Eucharist is the Christian vitamin, but I said no. And then they went into the B complex, and it took a while for them to get the Christian vitamin. But it is B1. Be a Christian in storms, in good times, and in bad, because the Lord's always with us in good times and in bad. He's the same presence. He never changes. Takes us out of the storms of life into that sunshine of the kingdom, the peace, and the joy that the world can't give us or even take away. But to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. And, you know, just so many beautiful things happen that He blesses us again and again and then gives us that felt awareness of that love that He has for us, especially in the sacraments. In the Eucharist, in confession. But the Lord, He's always there, always with us until the end of the world. Just be faithful to that presence. And come out of the darkness into the light, out of sin into grace, out of death itself into eternal life with Christ, now and forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Give out the phone numbers again, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or toll free, 888-343-2484. A reminder that, like last week, we're going to cut the show a little short. We have a guest coming on around 4:45 to talk about the National Day of Prayer, which will take place next Thursday on May 2nd. So if you want to get in, now would be the time to call. Any final words on St. Fidelis, Father?
One thing I missed to say was that he seemed to be quite wealthy. I mean, he was a professor, you know, he taught philosophy, he was a lawyer, so he made a few bucks. But his patrimony, he gave all to the poor. He gave half to the poor, and then he gave half to the bishop for needy seminarians. Right. And for needy seminarians. And I was thinking of that. We really need to pray for vocations today, you know, and to help them, you know. And money should never stop someone from becoming a priest, you know.
Amen.
Seminarians. I was just thinking that this year, 30 priests retiring, next year, 40. You know, we need to pray for vocations. They're out there. And one of the things, Ken, with Carlos Secutis, a shrine there at Malvern and St. Joseph's in the Hills, it is drawing the young, and I really believe that's a fertile ground to encourage vocations because they're coming. High schools are coming during the week. They're spending the week there. They're not allowed to have their cell phones the first day. They go into detox, and I just keep remembering that when I was here in Confessions, one of the girls said, Father, you don't know. You know, usually I'm talking to my friend on my text, like three doors around. Now I got to go knock on her door, have to see her face. We have to go out for a walk and talk. You know, they're having spiritual experiences when they put down those cell phones. You know, the harvest, it's plenty. You know, God is calling young people for vocations, but we're not hearing it, you know, because we're so much in the social media and listening to the pack of lies and falling into sin. But the Lord's there calling more and more. That good shepherd never leaves up. We have to hear the voice, you know, the true voice of God through the good shepherd, not the false voices of the wolves that cry out, you know, and mislead people. But, yeah, yeah. You know, really, pray for vocations. We need more vocations. And I really see Malvern as really fertile ground to encourage vocations, foster vocations, because just seeing the young people coming there and having wonderful spiritual experiences, Ken.
Yeah, and I would say that not only pray for vocations, but encourage people to for vocations. I think I told a story a while back about being at Mass up the mountains and seeing a couple of guys that, you know, we're really attentive at Mass and seemed like holy young men. And, you know, just walking out of church, I mentioned to them, hey, did you ever think about being a priest? And they kind of smiled and I was like, not really. But, you know, we need to plant those seeds with folks and encourage them to just think about it. Because they may not think about it at all, but you plant that seed and then pray that the Holy Spirit might water that seed, and who knows where it's going to go. We got a couple callers on the line, Father, if you don't mind.
Okay.
We're going to go over to Frank first. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
All right, brother, how are you?
I heard the warning about the quarter mile that happened last week. Yeah. I went to call, but it was too late, so yeah. I heard your warning this time.
Yep. What's going on?
And Ken and Father Doug, I'm going to ask you a favor. Both of you should say a prayer for me. Nothing new, just same old, same. I'm just tired and fed up. I'm just, don't like my situation. And I'm still sober. It has nothing to do with drinking, just all my medical problems. I'm just frustrated. That's it.
All right. I have a list, Frank. You're always on there, but I'll put a star next to it and make sure you get an individual mention.
It's just frustrating. I don't sleep. I can't feel things. I ask for people to do me favors. They don't do it. Or I ask for ABC to give me XYZ, and I'm supposed to be thankful. I'm not thankful. Better than nothing, but sometimes you get frustrated when just get what I ask you to. Nothing more, nothing less. Simple as that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Frank, the feelings, you know, you feel frustrated, tired, you know, abandoned, all that. I feel the same way. I really do. I'm tired. I am exhausted as a priest. That's why I'm mentioning about pray for more vocations. And sometimes I feel like I'm the only priest in the world. Everybody's at your door calling you. But I don't live in my feelings. Feelings change. I live in my faith. The Lord is with us always. He'll give us the strength and the courage to go on. Every heartbeat, every step, He's right there. I just keep calling His name, Jesus. Save me from my frustrations. Save me from this feeling of being exhausted. Save me from this feeling of being overworked. Save me from this feeling of being anxious. And all of a sudden, things begin to change because I'm living in faith. I'm living in Him, not in my feelings. They come and go all the time. So you've got a wonderful faith, Frank. Just
I've been
keep leaning on that faith
because
that's where you find the Lord. And thank you for calling in all the time.
No,
and being
I've been doing
it
at least twice
yourself,
a day.
Get
up and go to bed. You know, in between. No changes. No changes
faith
whatsoever.
That keeps us going.
All right. Now, we get it, Frank. So now you're definitely in our prayers, brother.
Okay, have a good one.
All right, you too.
Hey, Frank, right. I'm going to light a candle. I'm going to light a candle for you in my private chapel when I get off the radio here. So the candle will be burning
it.
In front of the Blessed Mother and next to the tabernacle. So receive the graces. God bless,
okay.
Frank.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All righty. And we're going to go over to Dottie. Hello, Dottie.
Yes.
How are you, dear?
Hi, Ken. How are you?
All right.
Oh, Ken, you know what? I pray for you every single day.
You do?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I pray for your wife. I say she must be a very patient woman because you're always with Father.
Yeah, no, she's in a saint in her own way. But
I believe that. I truly believe that. But yeah. I said, you know, I listen, and it's like, you know, I would say, is it God or is it God? But so many times, what was going through my head during the week, you and Father Doug would bring it up that on Wednesday, and I was like, this is not God, this is God.
Amen.
So I finally wanted to make a call. Because, as Father knows, today is my sister Lizzie's birthday, who has passed away. And, you know, you think about them a lot, and you miss them, terrible. But like Father said, they will never come back here, you know.
Yeah, no, I think once we get there, we're not going to want to come back.
So. And I want to thank Father for praying, because I had surgery on my eyes, but everything's okay, cleared up real well and everything, but that's neither here nor there.
No, it is here or there. That's a good thing.
But I didn't call to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I sent, and I don't know if this makes any sense, but I sent, I say, Holy Spirit, send subliminal message, Father Doug, pray in front of that tabernacle for me, and hear my prayers. And I would love to know what Jesus says, but Dougie does. Father does.
Yeah, what happens there, Father, in front of that tabernacle?
Yeah, only God knows most of the time, but it's so peaceful. But Dottie Ann, yeah, we've all been praying for you, and Dave always lets me know how you're doing, and I miss being with you. You know, we have fond memories growing up together on Adam Street there. You were one of my first companions, and you've always had the faith. Your love for Jesus is always present. So thank you for calling in, Dottie Ann. Love you.
Well,
and I'm going to light a candle for you, too, right next to the tabernacle in front of the Blessed Mother. And my electric bill's going up, but I don't care.
Thank you so much.
Sorry about that. But Dottie Ann, we appreciate the call. I hope to see you one of these days.
First coming in, I guess.
Yeah, that's all right. It's all good.
I want you men to know you're always in my prayers.
Thank you, dear. Miss seeing you.
Always pray that Venerable Lance Abbott, because of the condition of this world today.
Amen.
You know.
All right, dear. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Keep calling back. Good night, God bless you.
All right. Take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye. Patrick, I think we'll just roll right through. But that doesn't mean we don't need to talk a little bit about finances. It does cost money to get these shows out over the radio, and all your support is really appreciated. There's a couple of ways you could donate. The easiest way is on our website at inhissign.com. If you go out to inhissign.com and click on donate, you can... make it quick and easy, and I believe you can even sign up to donate monthly through there and enter that circle of prayer warriors that we have. And the other way to donate would be to the old-fashioned way. Get out your checkbook and send us a check, and if you choose to go that route, you can send it to 136 Garrett Avenue. That's 136 Garrett Avenue in Rosemont, PA 19010. And, again, we sincerely appreciate all that you do. We are totally listener-supported. We get no money from the diocese or any large entities, if you will. And so we've been able to do it for 40 years. God has provided through our great listenership, and we thank you for all that you do for us. And if you can do a little more, great. If you can do just a little something, that's just as well. And we do appreciate it.
Ken, I just wanted to go back with my cousin Dottie Ann about being in front of the tabernacle and what happens, what do you do? Yeah, I mean, I'll sit down, I'll pray a contemplative rosary, do a little scripture in Say No Jesu, read a little thing there. But it's not so much what I do there, it's what he does. And when she was mentioning my cousin Lizzie's birthday, I remember the day that my cousin was killed in a car accident along with Terry Hefto. And that night at St. Charles, I was before the tabernacle for hours. I don't know what happened, but something just came over me, and it was like I was out of the temporal in the eternal with the Lord. It was so powerful. I couldn't move, nor did I want to. And that same morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, Father Farley's knocking on the door and telling him about the tragedy that my cousin was killed. And I just remember saying in front of the tabernacle, whatever you want, God, thy will be done. Yes. And I remember after that experience, it was like, God, you tested me. And because I said, thy will be done, you tested me. And I became, it was a hard time to trust the Lord after that. You know, but anyway, it was when my father was dying, I said, Father, God, Father in heaven, Jesus, thy will be done, because I know his will, everything ends for good, for beauty, for the fulfillment of our lives with our Father, and just to trust him. But as he was talking about that, my cousin's birthday today, I was just thinking, it's not so much what we do before the tabernacle, but what we let him do to us when that peace comes. He was getting me ready for that tragedy. He was preparing me for that. He fortified me, gave me that strength to endure that, because my cousin Lizzie, she's like a sister to me, like a sister. So, but that was a powerful experience in front of the tabernacle. It was like time stopped. I was with God, and God was with me, and that was the only thing that was necessary. But I just wanted to get that in, Ken. Go before the tabernacle. Sit and be still. But, you know, pass on, you creatures. The Lord is my still. God to me suffices. All those wonderful graces and blessings flow out of his most sacred heart into our hearts, and we're one with him. We're in communion with him. And nothing else is necessary. Amen.
Amen. Patrick or Maureen, looks like the callers, I hung up, but the lines are still being used. Oh, there we go. Thank you, sir. In case somebody wanted to call in, we got about 8 minutes before Patty and Gabrielle Bruno are going to call in. The numbers are 610-527-2906 and 888-343-2484. The other saint we wanted to talk about, and we just have a few minutes, is St. Mark, of course, the evangelist, whose feast day we will celebrate tomorrow. Talked about him a little bit this morning after Mass, and with the feast day coming up, and how Mark identified, you know, kind of slips himself into the gospel there, the young man that runs away naked at, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And of course, we probably know him more from Acts, where we learn about his journey with St. Paul. But in light of the time, oh, before I give it over to you, Father, we got another caller on the line. Hello, Butch.
Yeah.
How are you, brother?
Hey, Kenny.
You're on the air.
How guys doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Just moseying around. Figure I'd call in, and I heard you guys talking about, like, the dark night and all. And, you know, I had that dark cloud over the head for a little bit. And, you know, lost that faith in that. You know, thank God for you guys and you know, and Patrick big time. You know, got a little smile on my face and got that faith back. You know what I mean? I just went through the reins a little bit, that's all. And I shouldn't be doubting God, you know what I'm saying? And I was just doubting it and lost in the sauce. It's just good to be out of it. And, I'm thankful for every day, you know. I got to realize no matter what, he's going to get me through, you know. And that's the biggest lesson. So.
Amen. And, remember, it was great to see you, disappear for a couple of days. And then when you came back, not on top of the world, but definitely much better. And that's really what the ministry is about. And that's really what our Christian life is about, being there to support one another and remind each other of what's really important, because our head can really play games with us sometimes and make us drift away and think things that really aren't true. And thank God for our friends along the path that are there when we need them the most. Right, Father?
Amen, because yeah. that's exactly where I was at.
Yeah.
My head was playing tricks, telling me this, that, and all, and I'm just glad to be out of that right now.
Amen.
And just want to thank you guys, you, Pat, Father Doug, all you guys, our house ministries. It's just a blessing. The blessing to have good men in your life, and I always was and always will be. I'm a true believer. God works through people.
Amen.
You know, even when I first got sober and all, it was just a lot of good men were there and pulled me up and giving me a little direction and giving me that faith and all that, you know, I can do this. And, it's a big blessing. I just wanted to call in and tell you guys I'm listening and I love you guys and thanks for all you guys do.
Thank you, Butch. I was just thinking, too, you know, your beautiful faith.
Yeah, a lot of storms there. For Mass tomorrow. All
right. Can you hear me? Butch, can you hear me?
Hold on, Butch, hold on. Let Father talk for a minute here. Go ahead, Father.
He couldn't. I don't know if he could hear me.
Now he can.
But, Butch, I just was saying that you've been through some storms in life, and I always admired your faith because it was your faith. You acted on that faith, and it rode you through all the storms. And I look at where you were then and where you are now with that radiance. I don't see the horns popping out of your head anymore, that tail. You know, it's just that, there's a more of a closeness and intimacy with the Lord himself. I see you holding your rosaries, your devotion to the Blessed Mother, and whatever, all that you went through, you know, you're stronger in faith than you ever have been. So I just want to thank you for your faith and keep being a good witness. Be a 12-stepper, you know, not only to bring people from addiction into sobriety, but from sobriety really into sanctity. And you do that, Butch. So God bless you and thank you.
Amen. And I want to thank that guy that gives me that push and all and that kick in the butt once in a while, Patrick, too, because he's always on top of me. And I need that at times, you know what I mean? He's just looking out because he cares.
Amen.
I know that today, and that's a blessing, too. It's just, today's a blessing. I'm glad I called in. I'm glad I was to get over there. I'll see you guys in the morning, and I'm forever grateful.
Nah, I look forward to it, Butch. We'll see you in the morning.
Amen.
Thank you, Butch.
All right.
Thank you for mentioning Patrick, the hidden one behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Hey, when we get that Facebook Live working, and we'll have to get Patrick over here on the other side of the glass and get him on Facebook, too. I'm sure he's got plenty to say. He used to call in all the time. So,
I know.
Anyhow, probably killing him sitting over there, not being able to chime in once in a while. But we got about a minute or two, Father, before we're going to cut over to the Brunos that are on the line. So a final word and a blessing, if you would.
Oh, okay, the blessing. Yeah, I'm glad we didn't get so much in the mark, Ken, because we can do that maybe next week, because there's so much to mark.
Yeah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, God, thank you for being with us always. Even in the storms of life, the most difficult times, you're there, holding us by the hand, pulling us up out of darkness, out of sinfulness, out of frustration, and out of anxiety, and all that's not of you. And we praise and thank you for all the blessings, and all those who are listening that might be going through storms now, especially the elderly who are homebound. Just to bless them real good and all of us, your whole world, Father, all of us. For there's only one race, the human race, and we're all your children. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, all the angels and saints, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Father. We'll see you in the morning, brother. We're not going anywhere, folks. We're letting Father go. Last week we had the Brunos on. Next Thursday we will be having a National Day of Prayer. And the Brunos each year are part of an event that's held at Rose Tree Park in Delaware County. And they are back this week to talk about it. So, Patty, Gabrielle, you there? Let's see. We'll let it go over here and try here. Patty, Gabrielle, you there? Hello?
Hi, Ken. Can you hear us?
Now I can. How are you?
We are wonderful. Thank you so much again for having us. It was great to be with you last week, and we're happy to be with you here now. And we're so excited because, yes, in 1 week, we will be gathering for the National Day of Prayer. The most exciting thing is that when we gather in Delaware County for the National Day of Prayer, we are joining with millions of believers in the body of Christ who all over the country will be gathering together for the National Day of Prayer. And that's what makes this so special. You know, this prayer has been a part of our country's history since the very beginning. It started with George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, all the way back to the first Constitutional Convention. We always had prayer at our meetings and in our government. And so in 1952, President Truman passed a law that said that each year we would have a National Day of Prayer, that there would be a call to prayer from the president. And then it was in 1988, it was President Reagan, and he said by law, we will have this National Day of Prayer every year annually, and it will always be the first Thursday in May. And then, actually 10 years later, it was President Bill Clinton who said, we will have the annual day of prayer. It will always be the first Thursday in May. And the president will always issue a proclamation recognizing this day and proclaiming a national day of prayer for the country. So on the first Thursday of May for the past 73 years, all 50 states have celebrated a national day of prayer. They have every one of the 50 states, the governors all issue proclamations proclaiming it's a national day of prayer. At every state capitol, they have gatherings, prayer gatherings that are happening. And then it goes down. We really work to invite everybody in the body of Christ to pray together. And it's interesting, prayer, there are many different faiths that believe in prayer. We come from the National Day of Prayer Task Force, which is a group of people headquartered in Colorado Springs, and our whole mission is expressing the Judeo-Christian beliefs that are the foundation of our country. So we are the body of Christ. We pray together to Jesus. And in all 50 states, there will be prayer gatherings to Father, God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. So what I'm excited to invite everyone to is Delaware County is having their annual National Day of Prayer gathering. It'll be Thursday, May 2nd, so it's next Thursday. The weather looks to be beautiful, 70, 75 degrees, sunshine, and we're having it at Rose Tree Park in Media, Pennsylvania, which is where we have always had it for 31 years. I'm so proud to report that our county for 31 years has met annually to pray together on the first Thursday of May. Things like that matter. That builds up. It says in the scripture that the prayers are overflowing in heaven. It's a sweet aroma rising up to the Lord is what the scripture calls it. And so we gather in Rose Tree Park in Media, Pennsylvania. We have never once had a rain out. God has always blessed the weather. And so we solicit prayers on that, but I know God will bless the weather. And we start at 11:30 a.m. in the park. You'll see it's right under the big American flag. The event is beautiful. As everybody comes together, usually a few hundred people come. And what we like to provide for the community, we have a lot of resource information. And it's all free. It's all available. So there's prayer guides. There's ways to pray for our government, for those in authority. There's ways to pray for your children, how to prayer walk your neighborhood or your school. We have different organizations that come and they bring information to give out. Moms in Prayer teaches how to pray for children, how to pray for schools. We have people coming from homeschooling associations. If you have any interest in homeschooling your children or learning what that might entail, we have an organization called Grands Stepping Up. And that's for grandparents. What is on the rise right now, many grandparents are actually ending up being the ones raising their grandchildren. So Grand Stepping Up will be there with information. We just found out, we were talking to them, the Lord has blessed them. Over the past 2 years, I believe they've received over $2 million of in-kind donations that then they freely give out to grandparents and people in the community that need, whether it's groceries or diapers, different things. So they will be there with information. It's really an amazing opportunity for the whole body of Christ community to come together and meet one another, get these resources, all these different ministries, and then pray together. The main point of our gathering is a concert of prayer. We have an honor guard that comes, we do the Pledge of Allegiance, and we have a beautiful proclamation from our Delaware County Council, and then we begin to pray. We pray over 7 different areas of influence. So we pray for our government, we pray for our military, we pray for the education, we pray for our businesses, our families and our children, we pray for the churches, and we pray for the media. So as I was listening earlier, I was listening to Father and you speak about the vocations and needing people to go into the vocations. Well, that's what we pray for. We pray for the church. So it's our Catholic brothers and sisters, our Protestant brothers and sisters, our Messianic Jewish brothers and sisters. We pray for the Lord to call up leaders in the church and also to awaken the church. We can't be a lukewarm, sleeping giant. God called the church to influence its community, its nations, its cities, its government. So we pray for the church, for that unity and community to grow, that we would love one another and get involved. We pray for the media. I was listening to Dottie as she was saying, Ken, that she prays for you every day. We need to pray for our media influencers, whether it's the radio or the news stations, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and the implications. So we're praying for the information on those websites to be pure. We're praying for everybody who uses the media and entertainment industry, especially our children and our youth. It's so prayer is, I love, there's a saying, and it says, prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. And I firmly believe that. We fight spiritual wars. You do not fight flesh and bone, the scripture says. It says that we fight evil and wicked principalities. And so when we're fighting spiritual warfare, we turn to scripture. What does God tell us to do? He says, pray without ceasing. He says, put on the armor. Put on the armor, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and then the sword of the Spirit. It's the written and revealed word of God. So we come together in prayer and thanksgiving. We plead the blood of Jesus over the body of Christ and over our children and over our nation and our world. And it's in those times of prayer and unity when we come before God and worship Him, that's where the battle is won. Because the scriptures say that victory belongs to the Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega. We pray with Him to release His angels, His angel army, to fight our battles. There's a lot to pray for on a national scale. There's a lot to pray for on a local scale. Delaware County, we have a lot to pray for, even right here within our own county. So it's really going to be a lot of fun. I want to share a website that everybody can write down and you can visit for more information. And that website, it's www.nationaldayofprayerdelco. Delco stands for Delaware County. It's D as in dog, E as in Elizabeth, L as in Larry, C as in cat, O as in operator.com. So it's nationaldayofprayerdelco.com. And if you go to that website, there's lots of information, more history about the day, information about the event, and there's also a lot of things you can print out. We have a promotional kit for churches. If your church is not familiar with the National Day of Prayer, if you have not heard it mentioned at your church or seen a poster, then you have the opportunity to be the ambassador for your church and to bring this invitation to your church. You can print out the posters. You can print out the bulletin inserts. All of our Catholic brothers and sisters, I hope you all have heard about it. We've had wonderful support from the Archdiocese. Megan Coakley has sent out information for every parish to include in their bulletin. We've had a lot of support from local Catholic churches to put yard signs up on their property. If your church would like a yard sign, somebody donated them, which is a wonderful blessing. just get in touch with us through the website, and we'll be happy to bring over yard signs absolutely free to you. And the day, I want to reiterate, so the website, it's www.nationaldayofprayerdelco.com. And the event, it's Thursday, May 2nd, so it's next Thursday. It begins at 11:30 a.m. It'll be beautiful. It's at Rose Tree Park in Media, Pennsylvania. We have great weather. We're in the high 70s. It'll be beautiful. We will have some lawn chairs, but you're welcome to bring lawn chairs, picnic blankets. If you would like to bring a picnic lunch, you can. I'm so thrilled to share. We've had so much support from the community. This year, for the first time ever, Sabatino's Mobile Pizzeria, which is a food truck, will be there, and they have so generously decided to donate pizza and French fries. They said, we know that our country needs prayer and that Delaware County needs prayer, and we don't want to charge for this. We want to come and support. So there will be free pizza, free French fries. We have an ice cream truck, and somebody has donated the first 100 ice cream cones. So I do want to make clear, you know, this is not a festival. We are there to pray. But our God supplies all of our needs, and we recognize this is a Thursday in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week. So if you can only come on your lunch break, if you can only come for some time, that's fine. Please come. Lunch is on us. You'll be cared for. The event goes a few hours from about 11:30 until 2:30. I hope, you know, many can come and stay for the whole event, because the end is just as anointed as the beginning. But it is come when you can, leave when you must. And the other thing I was thinking about, as Frank was sharing earlier on the call, one of the things that we have worship music, and we have prayer over all these areas of influence, and we have a prayer tent where there is personal healing prayer ministers, people trained in prayer that can pray for healing prayer and for personal needs, and that's available the whole event. So you can come, we can pray over you, we can pray over your family. We also have prayer coupons where people can write their special intentions, and they will be prayed for that day, and we also continue to pray for them all through the year. It's a really beautiful event. It's a time for our community to come together as the body of Christ, to meet one another, and to worship our Lord. And we need that. Our world, right, the theme of this year goes fittingly into this. Our world is experiencing a lot of darkness. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of scary things going on. There's a lot of heaviness that you can feel in the air and the environment. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus is the light of the world. And so when we come together, we are the city shining on a hill that Jesus radiates through all of us. The theme of this year's gathering is from 2 Samuel 22, verses 29 to 31. And King David writes, O Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord lights up my darkness. In your strength, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. So when we gather that day, that is the scripture we'll lift up as we pray for all these areas of influence. So I hope you will join us. It's Thursday, May 2nd, next Thursday, the National Day of Prayer for Delaware County in Rose Tree Park in Media, Pennsylvania, starting at 11:30 a.m., and you can visit the website, www.nationaldayofprayerdelco.com. And I hope you will come, and I know that God will bless the event. And Ken, I thank you so much for sharing. I heard, and I hope that every hour you guys are going to be announcing the National Day of Prayer for the next week, and it's that important. We need to unite in prayer. That's where the battle is fought and won.
Amen.
Thank you, Ken, and God bless you.
All right, you too. To Patty and Gabriel Bruno, thanks for all your hard work in promoting this and putting it together. And unfortunately, we have to let you go. We're going to quickly approach the top of the hour, and we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, My good friend Peter DePalma is already on the line, and we're going to be talking about the gift of the divine will, because it's Divine Will Wednesday. Don't go away. We'll be right back.